WBRB UK. Worse teeth, better accents.
Hello, hello, and indeed ahoy hoy, and ding dong merrily on high and stuff. Or non-denominational wasp names if you're choosing. I'm Dan, I'm one of your hosts here at BRB UK. Hello, good evening, good morning, good night. Good time betwixt 12 midnight and 4 in the morning, if that's when you're listening to us.
I like the way you managed to get dong into your Christmas salutations.
Well, there's a reason for that, young Timothy. That's Timothy, by the way. Say hello to Timothy, Timothy.
Hello, Timothy, Timothy.
Very good. And the other one's Coleman. Say hello, Coleman.
Hi!
Now, why, I hear you ask, why am I so pleased that I managed to slip the dong into my intro?
Because you love low-hanging fruit?
Well, there is a lot of low-hanging fruit. Because it's the festive period, and we would occasionally, you know, like to take a little break sometimes. It's not you, it's us. You know, we're going to record a couple of short-ish shows to tide you over the Christmas period. That's largely to maintain mostly Coleman's sanity, to be honest with you.
Hello!
Because he's the poor bugger who has to edit this.
He's still got to edit loads of episodes. He just gets time off in between.
If they're short, I mean, these are smaller and these are far away.
Far away, right?
This podcast is further away. Okay.
Yep. All right. Makes sense. You with us so far?
Yeah, okay.
Any questions, Tim?
No.
Okay, good. I still think you're looking like Alan Sugar tonight, by the way, for those of you in the YouTube video.
I am both baffled and insulted by this comparison.
Look, dude, if I'm going to be told that I look like the IT intern, I'm going to start spreading the spreading the love elsewhere.
I'm getting away scot-free.
You are?
I think the most I've had is when...
Your time will come.
When I did the BRB UK animated, because the first four, five, I think I did, that was when I had hair. And then when I did the last one, I had no hair. So I made my character in the animation bald. And I think one of the comments said something like, are you that hard up that you're saving on pixels by shaving them off your head or something?
Why has your forehead got so big? I don't understand.
Can't be bothered to animate his hair anymore.
I go through washcloths like you wouldn't know it. Too much face.
But do you save money on shampoo as a result?
Oh, mate.
Do you have to like polish it on top?
No, I don't polish my head.
Mr.
No
Sheen.
One polishes their head.
You might polish your head.
That's not a real thing.
Oh,
you might.
Get one of them bowling ball cleaners.
I will tell you, as a quick aside, I will tell you, when I first shaved my head, I think I hadn't seen my dad for like the first year that I shaved my head. And then when I finally went to see him, my dad is a bald man himself. And as a child, I would like stand on a chair behind him and slap
Baldy.
Him on the head. And I do stuff like that all the time. And when I turned up, he was
in hysterics.
Did he
get revenge?
Because I was bald. And then he walked up behind me while I sat at the table and he just started going, "This is for years!" Slapping
revenge.
Me on the bonce.
Nice. So, well played.
There you go.
Well played, Coleman Senior.
Hi, Cole Dad.
Older man. So anyway, in the spirit of these little slightly smaller self-contained single topic, Timothy,
yep.
episodes,
oh.
Cyberpunk 2077.
The future
it's a
is here.
Thing. We have all played it on completely different platforms, which is probably good for
kind of.
A chat about it. I haven't made as much progress with it as I would like.
Nope, neither have I.
I have.
But I think I've played enough of it to get an idea of roughly where it's at the moment and tried out most of the mechanics in the game.
I think I've tried enough of it to go, yeah, this game's not ready. This is possibly 6 months away from release, but yeah. Good.
Quick roll call of where we played it. Timothy, PS5, I'm
yep,
guessing.
I've been playing it on PS5.
Coleman, I'm guessing the PS4 Pro.
Correct.
You haven't done the PS4 pleb.
I was
version of
going
it.
To install it on my girlfriend's, which is the base PS4, but after results, I just didn't wish that upon my worst enemy, let alone the woman I love. So
yeah, Cyberpunk as drawn by Crayola. On the PS4, on the base PS4.
And I have doubled the energy requirements of Slough by playing it on PC. So, what do you think, guys?
There's a good game in there somewhere.
So when we last left it, Tim, you set us homework of which kind of backstory we're all going to select. I went Corpo.
Yep, and I went Street Kids.
And I went Nomad. last week we put out an episode where I'd played an hour and a half of the game, which was the Nomad intro and then the first kind of mission to the game. And upon listening back and then playing more of the game, it's clear that I was very kind to the game, and there are many things wrong with the game, especially on console versions of Cyberpunk. So I wanted to give the chance that now I've played more and now you guys have played, we can talk about it more. So that's this is one of the topics we could have. This is our new anthem.
I'm going to... Oh, no, it's definitely better than that.
How much is Cyberpunk worth?
So, I mean, I think, all right, let's try and take the poop sandwich approach to feedback, which is what we should do. So we're going to go good, terrible. I don't know if I'm going to make it a club sandwich yet and how many fillings of poop I'm going to put in the middle
of
it. There's
definitely a few different flavours of poop we can discuss. There's
definitely a few different flavours of poop. But straight off the bat, this, however, it might be more to do with the kind of the source material in terms of the kind of the RPG series
card
comes
games
from.
And the board games and stuff and books.
I love the feel of the world. I love how it feels futuristic yet really grimy at the same time. It really nails that kind of Blade Runner feeling for me. It's got a real great Blade Runner kind of tone to it,
and for me it nails something that a lot of people I've seen, I've seen some justifiable criticisms for this game, and we'll come into that in a moment. One of the things I don't think is entirely justified is, I don't feel it, and perhaps other people have more reverence or more connection with more source materials that influence this opinion more, but some people say it doesn't seem to have, it's got like some very classic cyberpunk tropes, but it doesn't really have anything new to say about cyberpunk, and it isn't really like doing anything that interesting with the cyberpunk setting. And I'm like, are you guys playing a different game? Like, that's one thing that I don't think I have a problem with in the world. I think it feels like a cyberpunk universe, and I don't know whether people were just expecting something slightly different, but the thing I think it nails that I was expecting is a past throwback look at the future. It's a very 80s perspective look at the future, and I think it nails
like,
that
Alien
feel
and
very
Blade
well.
Runner. It's the 80s vision of the future. You know, it's a future where we still use VHS, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, that type of thing. And this isn't meant to be the future of this world. Like, it is an alternate universe in which this takes place, and an alternate history took place in, you know, 2020 and, like, the rest of the world. Like, you know, so...
And that's one of the great... I mean, I thoroughly recommend that you take... And this is probably why I haven't made as much progress in terms of the campaign as I would like to, because I've been spending a lot of time just kind of reading the backstory, you know, trying to get an idea of where how this world came to be, where what the origins of Night City were, and it's actually it does kind of set it up really well. That being said, I think I got so distracted that I wasn't paying quite enough attention to exactly what was going on in the first couple of missions, and I actually got to a point where I was like, hang on, why am I doing this again? Why is this happening? Why do I need this robot?
Yeah, see, like, I think from what I've seen, there are slightly different intros to the game based on the backstory that you're doing, basically, yeah?
I threw up in a sink.
Yeah, so you had that experience. I didn't have any throwing up in sinks. I kind of, I think the first intro was in a bar, if I'm remembering correctly, or
Street
Kid.
That's
where
you're
thing or something like that.
Yeah, you're stealing. You're in a bar, and then you end up stealing a car.
Yeah, eventually.
Did it go far?
It did not. But all the missions from that point have to rhyme with bar.
But then, yeah, I don't know. Like, I think there are some...
Render distance, not that far.
There are a lot of things about the game from a technical aspect that you're like, well, that doesn't seem entirely fully baked. But I think there's also some things about the presentation of the game. There's that opening heist type level that you do, basically.
Yeah.
That introduces you to Johnny Silverhand. And I'm guessing that we're all past that stage from what you guys have said.
Have you seen Keanu Reeves yet, Dan?
Yes, that's what I'm asking.
No. Okay, Dan is not that far.
So I've been past the Keanu Reeves stage.
I've
and
done
gone a
lot
further.
Of side crap.
Whereas I haven't, partly because the game is working so badly from a technical standpoint, I'm tempted to just mainline the main story and then come back and play more of the side quest stuff when it's in a better state.
Yeah, although I mean, it's the little bits I've had so far, it does seem that some of the actions you take outside the main story arc can have an impact on what you're doing, which is kind of why I'm kind of wanting to immerse myself in the world and kind of see what things off the beaten track, how they affect the main story arc.
And I'm trying to pick as many options that are like the street kid dialogue option, like that are just particular to my story as well.
Because that's what I was going to come to, since, you know, the kind of the first kind of the heist mission, as far as I got to you. I mean, there's a couple of quite obvious corpo choices.
Yes.
Where you kind of shake the, kind of not shake the person down is the wrong term, but, you know, you kind of get, kind of balls out really hard bargaining with them and calling their bluff and
yeah,
stuff like that.
That mission and meeting with the fixer, but the meeting with the corp is something they showed in preview as well. So it's one of those missions that I've seen from a different perspective than the street kid that I'm doing, I think. I'm pretty sure. I don't remember, but I think it remember being different. And I was expecting to rock up and had a conversation like I'd seen happen before, and there was no chance for me to do that because the corp, I think, saw me as a street punk and didn't even entertain trusting what I was saying, so didn't have a conversation with me that I think they would have had with either of you two, basically.
Well,
with you, Dan, than anything.
They tried to give me money.
Well, that sounds like the corp way to do things.
Well, they tried to give me money, but the credit chip it was on that had a trace program on it that I caught them out on.
I accidentally disabled that trace chip without meaning to.
Oh, well done.
Yeah, I did the same without knowing what I was, why I was doing it.
Yeah, but then I ended up killing the target anyway, so...
Did you rescue the man?
Yes. That kind of righted the wrong of doing that, because I rescued him, so that seemed to sort me out with that gang.
There's an extra kind of part to that. And I ended up doing that mission twice, because the first playthrough I did, which was the one I was talking about...
I did that mission 3 or 4 times, because it kept on crashing, but yeah.
Fair enough. The first time I
did it twice, because it crashed.
The first time I was playing, which I was talking about last week, was with my original character. And then when you said, Dan, that I could play with just underwear instead of the old...
The cock and balls.
Yeah. I went back and started again, because what would happen is every time you change clothes, you get a split second of nudity and it just goes plonk.
But it's the way it flops is the really troubling thing to me. It's the floppage. The floppage.
I'll tell you what they have a problem with in the future, in this world at least. Mirrors.
Yes, they do.
Mirrors are a big problem. One, you have to turn them on and off, which is worse than we have in this day and age.
What's even worse than that? I appear to be a vampire in this game where... everyone else has got a lovely, has got a ray trace reflection. They look like, you know, the hotness. Whereas I appear to be occasionally a disembodied pair of legs, but most of the time I just have no reflection. And it's really weird. And it actually, strangely, because I think on the PC, the ray tracing and the kind of the soft lighting and the environmental effects are so good. They are so good. But that really takes you away from it. The fact that, oh God, I don't have a reflection. Yeah. It's like, am I actually in this world or not?
One of my favourite bugs that I've seen, I haven't actually seen it in my game, but I've just seen in some of the videos doing the rounds, is where the person's shadow just goes all jelly-armed.
Nice.
It just looks all crazy. But yeah, there is some really, really good points to the game, but I don't know about you. I feel like I am spoiling the experience by playing it now, and I think that's my biggest problem with the game in its current state, because it's clearly a really good game there. As you say, it graphically looks superb in places, and it's really good, but then when you're like going, oh, this is really good, and you're kind of immersed in the game because of the graphical setting, and then you walk around the corner and every pedestrian is trapped in like a 2 meter gap and walking back and forth while cars come around the corner and crash because they can't work out how to drive around the corner. I'm like, what is going on with this game? It's not just bugs. It's like AI scripting and stuff. Like,
when you say you're getting taken out by the graphical setting, I am too, but not because people are T-posing and sliding with one leg out and stuff like that. It's because I literally, I look at the PC version of the game and go, oh, this does look beautiful, if not for the bugs. And then I look at the PlayStation version of the game and go, wow, the city of cardboard and smog. It's it doesn't look good. And especially, like, one of the things you can do to make your game run better on the PlayStation, turn off the film grain, turn off the, like, the bloom lighting and stuff as well.
Like PS5.
Yeah. Well, apparently not that much of a difference if you play it on PlayStation 5.
I haven't had a real graphical problem, but...
I mean, I've seen some Digital Foundry stuff where it's like PS1 levels of detail on some of the models before they load in properly, and that must just totally break the immersion.
Yeah, and texture's taking ages to pop in, like longer than Mass Effect 1 kind of levels.
Even
of
on your super thick drive.
Yeah, and I don't understand it, but as I said, make this clear. Like, what? Let's talk about. Not necessarily what we've seen in bugs, but what type of bugs have you experienced? Because I've seen a few people defending it, saying that a lot of these things are smoke and mirrors, and if one thing isn't working properly, like, it all falls down a bit, and if you start looking for errors, you'll find more. Like, one of the things that people have said, like, I don't know if you noticed, but if you turn round rapidly, like, things will disappear, traffic will disappear, like, cowering pedestrians will disappear.
That's actually quite... Actually, what I think what the issue is there is that's a technique that's actually used in a number of game engines where they, beyond your field of view, nothing gets rendered. It has a placeholder in memory.
Stuff like that is more noticeable when there are other problems and people are looking for problems. But there's things in it that I'm like, how is this not... like? I think some of them might come from inexperience in the fields they're trying to make. Like, driving, I don't think feels particularly good.
Oh, God, it's awful.
Especially in first person.
But it's not just the actual physical act of driving that's difficult. It's also the streets aren't easy to drive around. Like, there's big blocks in the way. If you crash into a block, it kind of crumbles and your car does weird physics things. And other cars just stop and get in your way. And, like, directing your bike to you is weird. And, like, there's just loads of, like, really weird, like, systems that don't seem like they're designed.
I'm not going to lie. You know, in actual roads, there are other cars who sometimes get in your way. So, you know, it's part of
life.
No,
but I mean, there will be a car sat in my way. I'm trying to call my motorbike to meet. Motorbikes are the way to get around the city, I've discovered, by the way. They have a much better turning circle and much smaller and can get in and out of traffic. But you'll have I had the other day where...
You heard it here first. Much better turning circle. That's what we all care about when we're navigating a dystopian...
It makes it easier. It makes it possible, to actually drive around the city, though. But yeah, I don't know. I am enjoying the game, but it's in spite of a lot of things that I have to ignore... And then it will crash. And then the other thing I've been playing in the combat in hard. We discussed last week that I'd heard that it was better. And I like the combat in hard. It means that you need to actually use some of the gadget. I've been watching videos of other people playing. And I'm like, oh, I couldn't just stand there and unload a clip into someone's face and survive. I'd be dead if I did that. You have to use cover. You have to have food that you've used so that your health can actually do some good. And combat in hard's good. The one problem is that leads to me repeating a few things. And on top of that, with the glitches, bugs and crashes, I'm repeating a few things. And so it's just getting a bit... Yeah, it's a bit of a slog at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, it's difficult, isn't it? I mean, in terms of the bugs I've experienced, I mean, there's been just a couple of just hard crashes. You know, it's a demanding game on hardware. There's no two ways about it. But still kind of weird peaks and troughs and inconsistencies in kind of rendering performance, even in the same area. But the one thing I've noticed, and this is kind of, I think, on the only reason the PC can kind of get away with some of the extra bells and whistles, is there's this technology on RTX graphics cards, the NVIDIA brand, called DLSS, which is that AI enhanced kind of super sampling, which basically allows them to internally render the game at a much lower resolution and blow it up without much loss of quality. But there's been a couple of times where I've loaded in to Cyberpunk Rav, you know, after every time I come out of a menu, that I'm getting the really low res version of the world, the non-processed version of the world. I have to actually kind of go into the graphics settings, change the DLSS setting, go back into the game to get it to sort itself out.
Because graphically, I haven't had too much. The one that really I was like, oh, come on. Like, because it just snapped me out of the game at like a really sort of poignant moment in a kind of heavy cutscene. I don't like character dies and, well, is dying and puts their head up, their hand up to their head to take a chip out of their head to give it to you. I don't want to say much more than that to, you know, not give too much away. But as they're putting their hand up to their head to take the chip out, instead of having a chip in their hand...
Dildo.
It's
out the head.
It's a gun, right? The gun is too big for the space.
It's stuck in his hand.
So literally
so,
the barrel of the gun is sticking out the other side of the character's head as he's having this really, like, sad moment that I'm supposed to be empathizing with. And I'm like, Oh,
that same character appeared to me a bunch of times as two floating pistols.
Yeah, it's just like, well, I've
had disembodied clothes walking about as well. I've just had people's clothes render. I mean, clearly they were getting a lot of heat about all you know, people worrying about the wobbly jobblies left, right, and centre.
I've had hard crashes, so many hard crashes, and it's weird because like the game seems to play the best in, and like I said last week, it's the when it's the opening stuff, it's because it's the kind of scripted set piece and that works fine. And then when you're done with that and then you go out into the open world, into this kind of nightmarish glitch hell, then that's when things go wrong. And that's when I get hard crashes. And it's things like climbing stairs or driving or getting out your car or don't even try to change the radio station. And then that's when I get the PlayStation blue screen.
Yeah, but my crashes, and I go to blue screen even on the PS5, but they don't seem to relate to anything. Like, I've had crashes in combat. I've had crashes when driving around. I've had crashes when walking around. Like, it doesn't...
It's thankfully not happened in mission to me.
Yeah.
And for glitches as well. And again, it's all the kind of open world stuff this happens. Like, I was driving. One thing I found in the game, I don't know about you guys, driving in first person, I'm finding ridiculously difficult just because of how low you are in the car. And unlike the PC version, I don't think you can make your car view higher
booster
on
seat.
The PlayStation.
You need a booster seat, mate. You need a cyberpunk booster seat. That's what all the cool kids...
So I play it in third person, but you can't switch to third person by just hitting the arrow like it tells you on screen.
Yeah.
What you have to do is hit it about 400 times, get out the car, go in the car, get out the car again, go in the car, about four or five more times, and then eventually it will let you into third person. And then even then, you get out and you'll go into another car, or you'll get out of your car and coming back in, and it will change back into first, and you've got to go through the whole rigmarole of mucking about to try and get it to run in third person. And then the best one, I accidentally toggled the camera mode, because I was trying to do something in the car, couldn't figure out how to do it, hit the two thumbsticks, and went, oh, camera mode. I went, oh, weird, sorry.
Yeah, I keep on accidentally going to that in combat, but...
Hit circle to come out, my car exploded. Like, literally, big explosion, the car goes flying, it's smashed beyond, like, and I'm looking at it, it's got fire coming off of it.
That won't buff out, mate.
Such a weird bug to have. And then, as well, because a lot of the blue screens are happening to me while I'm driving, seemingly not doing anything. Also, while I'm driving, I'll be going down the highway, and then all of a sudden, it will just freeze. And it will freeze for about 10 to 20 seconds. And each time I go, oh, blue screen, and then it would just kick back to life. And I go, oh, wait, I'm driving. No, it's
See, I don't
weird.
Know if that's unique to the PS4 or the Pro, but yeah, I haven't had many hang-ups like that. If it crashes, it just crashes for me, basically.
I've had one or two, and it will do a really weird thing sometimes, where it's a bit like kind of it pauses, and then, you know, like on a video call which is buffered or something like that, it then kind of does a bit at like kind of 1.5 speed to just go... And then I said to him...
have you noticed you can deliberately do that in cutscenes?
Yes, you can.
I quite like that. That's quite cool, especially when you're repeating a cutscene because the game just crashed. But yeah, while we're talking problems, can I talk about the police as well, just for a minute?
Oh, sure. I mean, mate, I know tier 3 is tough.
Dead the police.
Know.
No, but yeah, like in preview, they talk about having this like kind of system that was... I can't remember what they said. They said something about like there being police that come after you, and there'll be like special agents if you start killing too many of them that will come up, like special characters that are policemen that will come after you.
Drones come after me a lot because I accidentally run people over, and then I get two or three flying drones.
But the whole police system just doesn't seem to work. If you drive about 30 yards away from them at like half speed, they will lose.
Yeah, it's fine.
You. Like they are not
GTA. It ain't.
Yeah, no, but that's the thing. Like how is this a worse police system than the original GTA? And I know, like, you know, that company's been making GTA games for a while now, but the original GTA had a better police system.
To be fair, they've been making the same GTA game for about the past 8 years. So, you know.
But I don't get it. I don't.
Well, I mean, I think part of the thing is, I was thinking about this the other day. I mean, Witcher 3 has got a number of quite intricate systems insofar as character interactions and how they all kind of build up and all the paths you can take down that. But what Witcher 3 didn't really have was kind of this environmental aspect, the kind of all-encompassing, very densely packed world. And I don't know, I kind of get the feeling that, I don't know, I almost feel like CD Projekt Red have built a very intricate but ultimately unstable house of cards here, where just one little thing can go wrong and that can bring the whole thing crashing down. And
you could say that about a lot of video games and the way things are. And
you could.
And a lot of things don't come fully together or well-formed until right near the end of development. I kind of understand that. But that's why this game does not feel like it's near the end of development yet. It feels like it's 6 months away. Having seen games in preview form before, I've seen things in a more fully formed kind of state that were 6 months away from release. You know what I mean? Like, I don't...
I mean, it's tricky, isn't it? Because, I mean, I don't think they could have got away with delaying it again. I don't think... I think they probably should have done, but I think they would have lost a lot of goodwill with their fans.
I think this lost a lot more will.
Well, the thing is, I don't like this narrative now that's going on social media. Where they're like, well, they couldn't have delayed it again because the game has threatened them and all this. Nah. And here's the mad thing. I'm trying to think how long ago. How long ago was it that they put the teaser out with the woman with the mantis blades coming out of her arms?
I mean, I have seen people peddling around 8 years, and I think that's a bit unfair. There's probably been worked on for 8 years, but it hasn't been fully in development for all of those 8 years. There was probably 2 years of, you know, concepting and getting early things out and that.
Close at the start of the PlayStation 4 launch, they put out the teaser for this game, and they really, like, imagine a world where CD Projekt Red went, okay, we've got this game coming out. We are going to make a playable build of it before we tell anyone about it. Not, we're going to put out a teaser while our other game is still in development before this one, and we haven't even started writing the game yet. We just know we want a woman with blades coming out of her arms.
No, I cannot blame them for building hype for their games. They are good at that. Like, there's also people saying, like, criticizing them for putting one thing out in preview and another thing out as a finished game. I saw the same team present The Witcher 3 before that came out. And when they presented some of that stuff, I literally came out of that presentation and went, I doubt we will see some of that stuff in the final game. There's no way they're going to have that much of an open world and that big with all the boats and stuff going on. Nah, we won't see it in the game. And it was that everything that I saw in that presentation was in the final Witcher 3 game, and it was an impressive thing at that presentation, and it was impressive when it was launched. I don't think it does anything to impress at all. Like, my biggest fear is that they have a lot of fixing to do with the bugs and the crashes and the technical problems, but I think even if you fixed all of those problems, you still wouldn't eliminate all the problems I have with the game. There is, and I'm saying that not because this is a terrible game, it's horrible. There is and as I said at the beginning, there is a great game at the core of this.
There's so much
crap around the edges that it's hard to get to that central core of goodness. And I feel that I will have a better experience with this game next year than I am having this year.
Yeah, a bit of me almost wonders that what happened with the game was almost a bit of what I would call scope creep, where I think they initially had quite a tight idea of the story they wanted to tell. But over time, there's been a lot of, wouldn't it be cool if we did this? What about this? What if we added this? And what if that? What if this? And it's, you know, all of those bits are really interesting mechanics. But, I mean, have they tried to do too much.
I'm not going to criticize them for being too ambitious because I almost want all of my game developers to be a bit too ambitious. I just think their ambition has been outstripped by their ability to deliver adequately within the time period. And I don't think they've managed to do that. And I think that's a problem.
Another kind of fallout we've had from this game as well is the like millions of videos and screenshots and stuff showing you what's wrong with the game is, you know, CD Projekt Red came out and said, hey, we're sorry. We should not have launched the previous gen versions of this game. It's clear. Like,
which we
problems.
Said ages ago. I don't know why they did, apart from the fact it's got a massive install base. But
and they've apologized for basically holding back the review copies of those versions of the games. Because that looked really shady. Yeah,
I can understand how that might happen because they're working on it to the last minute, but...
That's basically the reasoning. We were working on it to the last minute. But then they've kind of followed up and gone, we'll work with you to try and help you get a refund for your game on Xbox and PlayStation versions. And then everyone started coming back and going, can't get a refund.
Yeah.
And they said that before
speaking to Plany or Sony or Microsoft, by the looks of things.
That's absolutely ridiculous. So in the end, what we've done is spend, you know, $49.99 if you're getting the console version of this game, and you've paid for an early access at full price because you're going to have to wait till February until you can, well, assuming January, February is a playable state, which there's no guarantee, they might patch it, it's even more broken.
I don't want to encourage CD Projekt Red to crunch their employees to death for the next 2 months to make sure that is right. Like, that's not right either. Like, yeah, the whole thing's just a bit of a mess. And like you say about covering up the whole PS4 and Xbox things, it's not a good look when that was, you know, embargoed and no one had access to those copies and you're asking people to buy those copies sight unseen, almost, kind of thing, and then not delivering anything like the product that they've put down.
Apparently
money
that's not true either. They did have copies out there for reviewers, but only the trusted reviewers, and then they were told at the last minute, don't put out any console reviews of this game, while their PR company was going, we haven't got any copies of the game, we don't have any console copies of the game, stop asking us. And there's been people that have spoken out about that as well. And then of course, like, if you had Best Buy orders in the US, then you had a copy of the console version before.
Yeah, and
the
reviewers. 40% of sales were on previous gen consoles. You've been sold a game that doesn't work properly, as far as I'm concerned. That's just not right.
I mean, again, this kind of comes back to ambition, right? It's great to have a studio who kind of shoots for the stars with these things, because that's good. That's the attitude to have. But it does sometimes need to be kind of tempered with a little bit of pragmatism. And, you know, I think a lot of why it's crashing on last-gen consoles, where the majority of the hard crashes seem to be, is just a simple matter of system resources. You know, in the grand scheme of things, there's not much video RAM and you know, general access RAM for the system. And I've got a feeling it's just hitting those bottlenecks constantly, which is why you're getting the weird issues, certainly on PS4 with the texture and the model popping, because it's so marginal.
But for the sake of those two platforms getting a useless game, have the rest of us got a lesser experience than it could have been if they just focused on next-gen tech and PC? Like,
I mean, there was this argument with going into PS3 to PS4, and, you know, come on, if you've got your ding-ding bell ready, because Destiny...
Oh, wait, hold on.
That arguably held it, that, you know, that suffered because they were pandering to the technical limitations of the prior gen of consoles. And I think that's kind of what's happened here.
But see, games like GTA 6, which is, you know, some comparable because
doesn't
of the
exist.
Scope sorry GTA 5 comparable because of the scope, but then also
it doesn't crash because it doesn't exist,
but then also did go cross-platform. If you look at how they approached it, and
three times
correct, I don't. Did they launch on all platforms at once? Was it cross platform, cross gen?
Well, no. It launched on PS3 and Xbox, and yeah. then the following year went to PlayStation 4 and Xbox One, and then I think the year after went to PC. And now it's coming to PlayStation 4.
And again, and even though they're sort of comparable games and comparable studios, I do think that Take-Two has much more resources possibly behind it, and obviously GTA does as well. But at the same time, like, I don't remember anything like the level of problems with this. And I think some of the problems they might have run into is because they were trying to develop for so many platforms at once, also hamstrung by the last generation. But I don't remember a cross-generational game coming out in this bad a state, and I don't remember ever seeing one like as functionally awful looking as the PS4 and Xbox 360 versions are now.
I think their ambition outstripped what's realistically doable from the old gen consoles, and I don't know if you guys have seen their Digital Foundry videos, but man, OG Xbox One. Oof, that's rough. I mean, that is running at about 20 frames a second.
Yeah, and the original PS4 is not much better as well, from what I've seen as well.
And it's, you know, if you've got a now previous gen console, so Xbox One or PS4,
hello,
and you're thinking about picking this up, my honest advice, like, yeah, what Colin says, wait until one, the bugs are fixed, and two, there's the supply constraints of the next gen consoles or current gen consoles.
I would honestly say wait till another console, because or if you can PC, then go for the PC. It's one thing when you go, hey, the whole argument of Vertical Slice being on preview is different to the actual game that comes out. Watch Dogs being like the most recent memory of mine, like Watch Dogs, they went, look at this amazing next generation game, and it's going to look exactly like this. And then it comes out, and it doesn't look like this, and it doesn't perform like this, but it still looks kind of like what you've shown me.
Yeah.
From the previews and the trailers and all this kind of stuff. Even the trailer, I keep talking about this video they put out that went, this is the PlayStation 4 version. It doesn't look like it.
Yeah.
It doesn't look like that. What you have sold me is something that doesn't look like what you have sold me.
I would feel properly duped if I was an original PS4... you know, owner of original PS4 or original Xbox One and trying to play this on that. Like, we haven't really talked about it, but apparently it runs quite well on the Xbox Series S, apparently. Like, it's a good machine for it, just it doesn't run quite as graphically intense as the Xbox Series X. But, you know, but it apparently still looks nice and plays reasonably well as well, sort of thing. So...
then a lot of the ray tracing effects, certainly on PC and on next-gen consoles, they are definitely worth the price of admission. That really kind of adds an extra layer of immersion into it. Problem is, it falls over so often.
that it takes up all that way.
That fourth wall ends up crashing down.
Shatters
but
that
we
illusion.
We don't have PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series X version of this game. For all you know, that version's going to come out and have no ray tracing.
Yeah, right.
Could only perform at 30.
I mean, but just to come back to some of the stuff that it's very, very good.
Like,
I mean, I'm loving the whole kind of the brain dance CSI mechanic.
Yes, really like that. That's really good.
That really nicely, cleverly done. And the way it
although I think that was stolen from Batman VR, but still.
Batman Arkham Origins.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah, it was that.
But was it done in that way where it's locked to the kind of, everything's locked to the viewpoint of the individual you're viewing the world through?
No, it wasn't quite as stylishly done, and they have added a few more bells and whistles to it. But yeah, I think that's really good. I think a lot of the mission structure is really good. The combat in hard, I'm finding quite good as well. Like, I quite enjoy that, although it is seemingly a lot harder than other people are experiencing it just playing through the medium. But yeah,
it's almost like hard was more difficult
than
normal.
Hard is more difficult than the medium. But
remember me, they did the detective mode exactly the same. Sorry.
Yes.
Carry
so
on.
Like but I think it's taken a lot of influences from good sources to have influenced from, basically, and taken those influences from and implemented them quite well. Like, as I said, when the game is good, it is very good. Like, I really like the world. I like the characters. I like the acting. It's just such a shame that there are so many distractions from all of those things at the moment, and all the things that take me out of the scenes that are well done and I'm interested in. Didn't mention at all. I assume both of you went with male characters.
Yes.
Okay, I went female just to mix it up a bit because the case. And partly because I also often play as a female in RPGs and stuff. So,
but I mean, I think you're right, Tim, and you know, Colin, it sounds like your experience has been a bit worse because of the last gen experience that you're having. And I kind of, by the sounds of it, almost like what you're saying, Colin, you know, I might be tempted to just kind of put it on hold, start anew when new hardware's come in, and experience it a bit more like it's meant to be experienced.
I was thinking the other day of just like mainlining the sort of main story quest and getting through it that way, but I'm not even sure I want to do that now because I think I'm spoiling all of that as well. And I really quite like the way they've set up the whole Johnny Silverhand story and how he's appearing and how the characters are interacting and how that's going. And I was just like, there's so many times I'm like, cool, this is really good. I'm storming around the city on a motorbike and I've crashed. And oh, it's cool. This scene's really cool. And oh, there's a massive graphical glitch that's taking me out of things. And it's just like, yeah, it's really knocking the wind out of my sails in terms of getting around it and enjoying it.
I mean, when it sticks to landing, it really sticks it.
Yeah, you know? Yeah.
And when it's all cylinders going and those cylinders working and everything's hunky-dory, it's a fantastically immersive game from an atmosphere point of view, and CD Projekt Red have definitely nailed that. However,
really nice looking lifts as well.
Yeah, they're lovely, really lifts. Everyone loves a lift.
Love a lift.
love a lift.
Love it. Love a lift. But it needs a bit more time in the oven. And yes, whilst you can go out and buy it now, I think you're going to enjoy the game a lot more and get it probably for a much nicer surprise in about 6 months' time.
Yeah.
Would be my advice.
It's a shame that so much hype went into this, and this was one of the, if not the most anticipated game of 2020, because I would have rather much not have caved. And I mean, initially I was going to go, there was an offer that GOG were doing about 8 months ago where you could pre-order the game for £35. And I really wish I went for that instead of went for the PS4 version.
Definitely better than going PS4. But see, I've got the PS4 version, and it is the PS4 version I've been playing. There isn't a PS5 version out. So even though I've been playing it on the PS5, and it obviously has a bit more grunt behind it and the SSD and a few other things, I am still playing the PS4 version. So you can hang on to that, and eventually you'll have it on, you know, PS5. But who knows how much this is going to delay the PS5 and, general next-gen console versions. Like, if they've got to fix all these problems first, I imagine they want to fix all these problems and then look at those console versions. So I think this might lead to an even bigger delay for the next-gen versions, no? I'm just sad. I'm not angry with the developers, as a lot of
people
are. You're
just disappointed.
But I am a bit angry with some of the management people that made the business decisions behind this, which have put the developers, you know, in an unfair spotlight ahead of being ready, basically. They haven't learnt their lines yet, and they've been shoved out on stage, and it's going to make them look stupid, but it's not the actor's fault kind of thing, you know?
But that's when you've got shareholders to please. Sadly, that's sometimes the case, that where they want the payday now.
Ba-da-ba-da-ba-ba. Capitalism!
Yay! But this should be a shining example for the future of turning around to investors and going, this is the reason you do not release the game early.
But then they'll go, all right, we'll have our money back, thanks.
Yeah, but then, like, investors in video games need to understand what they're investing in, and unfortunately investors don't do that a lot of the time, but, you know.
This has to be one of the worst examples of a game being overhyped and then coming out to poor reception.
Overhyped and underbaked.
And being broken, basically. And it really is an argument for the Bethesda kind of method where they go, I know not recently, because they've gone, hey, here's two new games that we're going to release someday. But when they do, say, the Fallout games, and they go, here's the new Fallout game. When's it coming out? 6 months.
Yeah, I'm not sure Bethesda's the best example of that when Fallout 76 was the last Fallout game. And every single Bethesda game launches with bugs the size of giant spiders. But, you know.
I played Skyrim at launch, I played Fallout 4 at launch, and neither of them blue-screened on me.
Neither of them were as broken as this. One other point I want to make is people talking about how this got past certification, and from a few people giving knowledgeable perspectives that I trust, and from what I've generally discerned from the gaming industry before, like, certification wouldn't necessarily check for actual crashes. It should do a bit, but if it crashed and bricked your system, that would be a problem that certification would pick up on.
Certification seems to mainly cover, does this destroy our system in some way?
Yeah, does it destroy our system? Does it slip in an evil, like, Chinese bug or something?
The other thing is, if it changes... If functionality causes the game to crash, or is something that you can do on a normal way. So say, for instance, if your controller left it idle and it disconnected, if that crashed the game, then it wouldn't pass certification.
No, I'm not even sure. That's where I think the misunderstanding comes on. If that crashed your game, that might be picked up on certification and be told that that was something they wanted them to fix. But I don't think that would stop it from being certified. Like, if it crashed and it bricked your system or did something to the hardware, then that would be a problem that would not pass certification, as I understand it. Whereas...
break a load of PlayStations?
No, but then a lot of this stuff will either be stuff that they'll go, try and fix that, but it will still go past cert, or other stuff will be a case of, we will give you the good faith that you will fix this in time for launch. And so that doesn't always work out to be the case, basically.
I mean, though, I think it is important to point out, though, that certification, as you said, is a very different process to QA and QC. It's a very, very different thing. It's like if you had a car, it would be like, certification would be petrol goes in and it doesn't explode. That's your certification for a car. But the QA, QC is like, all right, how nice is it to drive? How well do the panels fit? All that kind of stuff. What's the mileage? I mean, they're two very, very different things.
The problem here isn't development, as far as I'm concerned. The problem here is either, as you said previously, ambition, and we don't really want to limit them from that. But then the problem that comes in, if you do have that ambition and you don't match that ambition with your management being brave enough to tell your investors that they know what they're doing and you have to hold off until this game is ready, like they said they would to their fan base, basically.
Well, back in 2013, it was coming whenever it's ready.
Yeah, and that was the case. They maintained that. They sort of repeated that sort of statement when they delayed it recently as well. Like, so, I don't know. I just, yeah, like... I don't want to kick people when they're down. At the same time,
I do. It's fun.
There are people in CD Projekt Red that possibly, you know, could do with a kick up the arse for this, basically. And I, as I said, I don't think there are any of the developers. There's certainly not any of the QA department. But yeah, people not brave enough to stand up to investors. It is entirely your fault.
I think that's a gross oversimplification of it.
That's what it comes down to. If they were brave enough to stand up, and I understand there are financial constraints and problems within that, and I said about all the problems of like lining up loads of business deals for the launch and having to delay them and delay them again, and I said about that being a problem before launch, but all of those things pale in comparison to, like, this is a studio that has spent years building up good faith with the gaming community, and I think they just cashed it all in on one really overly expensive thing. I don't think gamers will trust them when they are launching their next game, and I think that's a much bigger problem for them.
Well, they've got to finish this one off first before they can work on the next one.
Well, no, they're going to announce Witcher 4 while they're still doing this one. That's what they did with this game. But that said, CD Projekt Red gave away free copies of Witcher 1 Enhanced Edition on PC, so that was quite nice.
I mean, I have to say, I want to love this game.
I want to love this game.
And I think when
I will
bugs,
eventually.
Yeah, when its bugs and all of those issues are sorted out and it's a much more stable experience that doesn't trip over itself, I think this is going to be an incredible RPG. Don't get me wrong. And it's got the bones of something really special there, but it just isn't quite polished enough at the moment, I'm afraid.
One way or another, this game's going to be spoiled for me now. I either spoil it for myself by playing it, or I don't play it and it's going to be spoiled for me by other people online. Like, so I'm damned if I do and I'm damned if I don't now. So, yeah, not great.
I just want to end on one final thing that really annoyed me in this game. Driving along, and then my car seemingly crashes into nothing.
Yes.
And I'm going, why is it crashed? And then a wall renders in front of me.
Yep. Oh, and I've driven around this corner, and there's traffic flowing down this road. But no traffic can get down this road, so it's all just stopped at the end of it. Great, thanks.
Yeah. I managed to get my car stuck in a gate.
Brilliant.
What happened? I was like, I could get through. Probably my own stupid fault, this one. I don't think I could blame this on the desert. I was like, I'll get a bus through. That'd be all right. Clonk. But then I couldn't reverse out. I got stuck.
I had more than one enemy get stuck into a wall that then means that I can't shoot at that enemy, but they can still shoot at me. And that was fun.
I could walk through doors for a bit. That was fun.
I once stood on a levitating newspaper.
I like that one.
In the game or real life?
In the game. In the game, Tim. I haven't quite leveled up to that degree yet in real life.
David Blaine stuff going on.
I died in a random encounter, and then when I respawned, my car was on its side and I was inside it and I couldn't drive the car anymore. And as the current thing that I was doing involved chasing someone in the car, I couldn't get out and find another car because there weren't any around me, and it failed me.
I'd just like to point out a bit of our poop sandwich has slipped out of the poop and gone below the bread.
That's garnish. Garnish on top.
Okay.
Garnish. Lovely.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's probably about it, isn't it? I think that's about as deep a dive as we can realistically go into with Cyberpunk 2077. Look, I mean, I'm quite up for revisiting this in a couple months' time, just to see where it's at.
I'm quite up for putting this on my list of most anticipated games for next year.
Wow.
Not going to lie, I'm probably still going to play a bit of this over the Christmas break, just because I like the story. And then I'll just start again on a different path when I'm on the PS5.
I feel like I've got Stockholm Syndrome now, though. Although, I have to say, last 2 days, I haven't been playing this. I played something else instead, and I feel much better for doing so.
Well, good for you.
Good for you, but that's not this podcast.
No,
Timothy.
It's not.
No.
Ever.
Good. Lovely. Glad we all agreed. Right, well, I think that's about it, isn't it? This has been our obligatory Cyberpunk 2077 podcast. We'll come back to it next year, like we all said when the game's finished. So, yes, that's enough derp in our herps, and we should probably go now. So, yes, there will be some kind of shows of an indeterminate number and of an indeterminate frequency over the festive period. We're all a bit busy at the moment. Everything seems to have gone a bit mad in our, sadly, not-so-fun adult lives. Everything is well, it's just exceptionally busy. So we are going to get out what we can.
Well.
We're going to go now on that note. But all that really remains to say is that I have been Dan, but Coleman's looking at me like I should probably tell people to go to the website.
No, it's fine.
It's a different show. You're fine. Let's go.
All right. There's a website. Go to it. Any website you like. I don't mind, but bigredbarrel.com is a good one. That's your lot. We're going to go now. I've been Dan.
I might have been a street kid.
I have been a really badly voice-acted Keanu Reeves.
Excellent. Good for you.
Voice-acted Keanu Reeves available? I don't think that option's available anywhere in the world.
Not in this game.
Not in the world. Keanu Reeves, I love Keanu Reeves, and he's right for the type of roles that he's in. This is one of them. I don't think he's a good actor, though.
Keanu Reeves is Keanu Reeves.
Yeah, Keanu Reeves acts like really Keanu Reeves in whichever film he's in. I mean, I think that's a slightly reductive opinion that I'm not wholly agreeing with, but anyway.
Whoa.
And yeah, right. This for me, this game is Johnny Mnemonic. That's what I was expecting. There needs to be
Johnny
more
Manamana.
Psychic dolphins in this game, and
Johnny
I will be
Manamana.
Happy.
Johnny Manamana.
Johnny Manamana.
Manamana. Manamana.
Johnny Manamana. Marshmallow.
Doctor All Come.
Johnny Tremandoline.
7, please.
Johnny Manamana.
All right. We're going to go now. All right. Well, thank you ever so much for listening to us. We're going to be back at some point when it's ready. And until next time, ladies and gentlemen, toodle-bye.
are quite welcome for the podcasting goodness that you just heard. Why not roll on over to BigRedBarrel.com for more podcasts, news, reviews, and videos from the biggest, reddest site on the internet, BigRedBarrel.com.